Hallelujah, we will sing. Amen. We can sing. So this morning we come to message number 4 in the line of fruit bearing. Amen. If you're not there, we're turning to page 43. And if you could read the title of this message together. You ready? It says, bearing fruit through a normal living of the gospel. So what are we going to see this morning? We would like to see a normal living of the gospel. Let's all read Roman numeral number 1 together. You know, we've been touching these verses in John 15, right? Where the Lord uses the picture of the vine and the branches. And this is a marvelous picture of increase. You know, the vine is good for one thing, to bear fruit. Right. You know, you're not able to make a table out of a vine. You know, it's too small. You're not even able to make a leg of a table out of a vine. The vine is good for one thing, to bear fruit. Like Brother Ben yesterday, I would also like to start with the matter of defining what normal is. I looked up several definitions. And one, it says to be normal is to be ordinary. As in, and this is what people expect. So in a sense, it's not normal. It's not being miraculous. Right. It's not being extraordinary. Normal is what is expected. Also, in medicine, to be normal is to be free from any infection or form of a disease or disorder. So that's pretty, you know, if a vine is not producing fruit, then it's abnormal. You know, so if a vine is not producing fruit, then you can suspect, oh, something is wrong. It may have a disease. So let's read 8 together. You know, where I live, in my backyard, I have several vines. And every year, they get pruned, they grow, and they bear fruit. And they taste good. Then you can say that you meet several requirements. They get water, they get food, sunlight, and in a normal way, they bear fruit. You know, so if they don't bear fruit, then I suspect what's wrong. Yeah. So you say, in the same way, let's say if a couple, you know, a man and a woman get married, what do you expect will happen? You know, fruit. You expect a child. If they don't, then you start suspecting maybe something's wrong, right? But this morning, I'm here to tell you that the Lord is divine, and you're a branch, and we have been joined to the Lord. Yeah. We're in this organic union, and then it's normal for us to bear fruit. You know, this is what is expected. Let's read B together. It's not a mere work or preaching. It's a living. You know, living has much to do with our Christian walk. Colossians 2:6 says, as therefore you receive the Christ, walk in him. Here to walk is to live, to act, to have your being. That means as we're walking in Christ, we're living in Christ, we're breathing in Christ, we're enjoying the riches. This is normal. I looked up. I was reminded of a ministry portion, so I looked it up. So I want to read it to you. And it says, we must learn to be satisfied with ordinary days which are filled with regular and normal practices in the divine dispensing. It says, in the morning, we should have some time with the Lord to be touched and be revived by him. Then we need to pass through a daily routine to get ready for school or for work. To live a life in the divine dispensing in a normal way will make us healthy. Hallelujah. Will make us healthy, both spiritually and physically. Okay, but also you can say that a living is according to a certain life. Yesterday's message was wonderful. We saw what this life is. This is the uncreated life. This is the God's life. This life wants to bear fruit. We also sang a song that says, right? Oh, Lord Jesus. Forgot what. Okay. It says, now, well, write it down. It says, life moves, life grows, life shapes as it flows. Now we share its life destiny. This life has a destiny. This life wants to bear fruit. I mean, this life wants to have an expression. We get to take part of this, you know, of this by bearing fruit. You know, we have received this life, but we may not always live according to this life. We may live according to our fallen life. So we can say we need help. We need help in bearing fruit. We need help in taking care of people. You know, this is where our living comes in. So I'd like to present you, you can say, a few steps in how you can bear fruit in a normal way. So I think some of these points will possibly be covered tomorrow, but I just wanted to present them this way because of what I heard in the fellowships and the testimony you have presented. So the first point I have here, it says to write down the name of every person you know in a notebook. Let me start from your relatives, your friends, your classmates, you know, your coworkers, and I will add even the young people. Okay. You know, if we don't do this, we might think that we only know a few people. I recently started doing this, and within 5 minutes, I had 40 names in my book. You know, wow, that's 40 names. But also something I've been practicing to do, because I tend to forget people, every person that I meet, I write it down on a notebook. Like that, I remember their name. And also, I know who's around my community. You know, so we have to be aware of who's around our community. Second, you could say, we have all these names, so we need to pray. Bring them to the Lord. Ask Him to impress us with two or three. Our focus is not 40. We have 40, but our focus is two or three. And then, we should pray often. You know, Romans 12 says, do not be slothful in zeal, but be burning in spirit, amen, serving the Lord. Amen. As you're burning in spirit, the Lord will lead you into which persons you should contact, right, how much time you should spend on each person. Right. Okay, and third, I got contact. Other testimonies we have heard have had contact from different angles. You know, you could send them a text, do a Snapchat, a Facebook Messenger. You know, you do so many things. But the best contact is face-to-face. You know, what we heard, maybe a basketball, frisbee. I don't know what sisters do. But, you know, you can invite them to do whatever you do, right? Just bring them along. This is what they want. You know, they want a community. This is what you're bringing them into. And then you might think that this is obvious, but ask for help. You know, the saints are there to help you. You know, the brothers and sisters are there to help you. You know, it's like fruit is born in a corporate way. Okay, I was impressed by one of the testimonies from a brother. He said that one of the brothers was not responding to his text. So he got the brothers, and they went on a search party, and they found him, right? Search. Yeah, it was awesome. I'm like, wow, much contact. You have to be aggressive to go and with help, go and find your friends. And then I would say, bring them into a home. A lot of times we might think, oh, home meeting. Yeah, that's good. Eventually, that's the goal, at home meeting. But first, it's a home. A home warms you up. A home opens you up. Right. A quick testimony of a college brother. He was burdened for his classmate. He was praying with his companion. So a big exam was coming up. He invites him to dinner at his house. The classmate shows up. Table set. You know, they sit down at a table. The dad prays. Mom prays. He prays. And then they went off to study. You know, just being in this environment, You know, this is something what the family would have done anyways, but just being in this environment just let his classmates to ask a question. He goes, what's the Bible all about? Like, wow. And where does that come from, right? Just being in such a sweet environment. This led to his salvation. So what would you what would you say after someone is saved? What is the next step? What do you think? Say it. Well, yeah, of course, you know, yeah, but what is the what would be the next step after someone is saved? Say it louder. Exactly. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. You know, next step is baptism. You got to speak something. You know, all these steps, in a sense, you could repeat them, right? For a continual care. We're learning. I'm not an expert, but we're learning how to care. One thing I would like to share, you know, like I mentioned about the young people, you know, one thing is that they're where we are. You know, we might, as college students, you may not see them as potential fruit, but they're there. You know, you as a college student are the perfect example. There is this young sister, you know, who recently got baptized, and she asked me, Brother Oscar, are you going to come to my baptism? She's like, Brother Oscar. He's like, he's calling me brother. I was like, but they see you? And they say, oh, he's probably, this is where I want to be in a couple of years. They don't call you brother, you know, Brother Tim, right? They don't call you Brother Ezra. They don't. But, you know, but you have such an influence on the young people. That, you know, I'm just saying this so you could keep them in your radar. You know, just be aware that they also need to care. They also need to be brought into a home. They also need to be invited to get boba, right? Who here doesn't like boba? Right? I think everyone here likes to go out and have a drink, right? So they also like to go out. You know, in this way, you bring them into your environment. You're bringing them into your church life. The church doesn't have to be very attractive. You know, you have to see that they have a place in the church. That they have a community in the church. You know, we could do such a great, you say, this is such a marvelous opportunity. You said this is a new field that hasn't been explored for us to bear fruit. You know, I work on a campus team, and a lot of time we invest so much time on the fall, right, to gain the freshmen. You know, we spend time and a lot of effort to capture a freshman for maybe 4 years. But here we have the young people. You know, you could say that the church's freshmen are the sixth graders. You know, if we attend to them, we care for them, starting in sixth grade, what will happen when they get to college? They'll be our co-workers. They'll be on fire. They'll be burning. They'll enter into our labor. They'll be our companions so easily. Oh, Lord. Okay, point two. We need to take the Lord as our example to live a life for the gospel. Let's have brothers read A. So the Lord went from city to city, village to village, and he preached, he taught, and he healed people. With him, with the Lord, there was no distinction between the gospel and his living. The gospel was his living. Let's B. Let's read B. I would like you to highlight, spend time and one by one. This was the way that the Lord worked. You know, this is the way that the Lord labor. We have two examples. One was, which is Nicodemus in chapter 3. Nicodemus was a man who was probably of great importance. The Bible says that he was a ruler of the Jews. But this one came at night. The Lord spent the night with him. Wow. So it's worthwhile to spend time with someone. And then we have the chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. You know, the Lord was on his way to Galilee, but Samaria was off the way. So he said the Lord took the long way. It was an inconvenience for the Lord to go to Samaria, but he had to pass through. You know, he had to get there. Why he had to go there? Because there was one there that was chosen and predestinated by God. So he took the long route. Sometimes we need to take a detour to go visit someone, to go spend time with someone. So we need to take the example as a deterring, triune God.
Amen.
And let's read C together. And at this point, I think we have Jackie. She'll be coming up and sharing. So if she could come up and as we're reading point C.
Hi, I'm Jackie, and I'm a third year at UCLA, and I got brought into the church life by my best friend, Amy. She has been my best friend since middle school, high school, and college, but I actually didn't know that she was in the church life until my senior year of high school. So before we entered college, we had like a long, deep conversation about what my high school teacher said, that humans are never satisfied. In high school, we want to get into a good college, and then in college, we want a degree. And once we get a degree, now we want a high-paying job. Although I don't remember this conversation very well, Amy told me it impacted her deeply. And being my best friend, because of this, Amy brought me to her small group my first year of college during the first week. At the time, I was in an awkward situation where my parents were strongly Buddhist, and I did not want to be. So once I entered college, I finally felt like I was free. But Amy still continually invited me over to her small group, so there are times where I did go and there are times where I didn't go. But over time, I got to know all the saints in my small group, and every time I would visit, there would be this very warm and homey atmosphere, for they were so full of life. The sisters in my small group were all very caring. One day, they gave me a Bible, and then we just all started going out to get boba and ice cream. And every week, we would read a chapter of the book of Matthew. And they would always remain open to answer my questions and listen to my concerns, which is something I was really grateful for. And there's this one time we went to an ice cream shop in Beverly Hills, and we were reading chapter 11 of Matthew. And I remember we read Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Once I read this verse, I clearly remember my eyes widening, and I was getting goosebumps and shivers, and I was just imagining the Lord giving me this fatherly hug. It was through that verse that I realized how much the Lord loves us, and that verse was definitely the catalyst that made me love the Lord even more.
Amen.
It was a very gradual and long process, and it took me a whole year for me to become completely open to the Lord. But I finally got baptized in the beginning of my second year. Without Amy and all the saints at UCLA imparting life into me gradually and in a normal way, I wouldn't have come to know and love the Lord as much as I do today. Amen.
Wasn't that a sweet testimony
of someone who was cared for? A few words here. It says interest. There needs to be an interest of what? To impart life. Her friend cared for it in such a way. You know, it took a year. You know, it is normal to bear fruit in a year.
Yeah, right.
You know, 1 year, it's not impossible. I also enjoy her testimony in the matter that she came to a home. Guess what? Once they enter into a home, 80% of the work is done. So goal is bring them into a home. And it's a warm atmosphere. And then there was the corporate care. The saints pick up the burden. No, your burden becomes the saints' burden. And then they enter into this shepherding aspect. I think Jackie got the living water.
Yeah.
You know, it says in Matthew 11:28, she said that she found, you know, she really found the rest there, right? She drank the living water. You know, this is such a sweet testimony. Let's read D. Let's read E together. Second Timothy 4:2 says, proclaim the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Amen. You know, that means we have to be ready wherever we go. In the supermarket, classroom, at the gym. You know, sometimes the Lord places people for you to talk to at the gym. A quick testimony. A few weeks ago, I was hiking. You know, it was probably, I had hiked for an hour and a half, and I'm coming down. And I just saw a man who was struggling, and I just said one thing. And then we started a conversation. 20 minutes down the mountain, you know, he opened up. I had to share something. That was, you know, say, I had to be ready, right? That was not the right time. I was in my sweats, you know, my T-shirt. I'm drenching sweat. It was definitely not the right time. However, the Lord places people in our surrounding. Let's have read 1 and 2, and then we'll have David from USC come up and share. All together, 1 and 2.
You should not say that this is not the right place, the right time, or the right person for God. Every place is the right place, and every time.
And so, my name is David. I'm going to be a junior at USC next semester. And last college training in the fall, we were given the burden to speak to our friends on the campuses the week we went down from the mountain. And I was like, oh, sweet, I have a friend. I've been praying for him for a few months. So that morning of Monday, I composed something to speak to him, and then we went to class. And then after class, he came up to me and said, how was your weekend? And all I could muster up was, good. It was good. I was so discouraged, and I just went discouraged to my next class. And then there was another friend there, but this was one I didn't have much burden for, wasn't really planning to speak to him. Because when I first met him, one of the very first questions he asked me was, do you smoke? So immediately, I just closed the door on him. And as I spent more time with him, he was one who was very deep in the world. He was one who would go to parties every weekend. He was a regular drinker, a regular smoker, one who would go through many different relationships in one semester. So immediately, my concept was that he would never be open to receive the Lord, and the Lord would never be able to open him up. But after this class, I was going to go to lunch at the dining hall, and I asked him, bro, do you want to come have lunch with me? And he said, yeah, sure, I'll just come grab a coffee. So we went, and then I just asked him, how are you doing? How's everything? How are your grades and everything? And he really opened up to me. He said he was struggling, family matters, relationship matters, and I just felt the Lord's anointing at that moment. You know when you want to prophesy, you feel that pom, pom, pom?
Amen.
Well, at that moment, I felt the pom, pom, pom.
Amen.
And I just opened up and flowed out to him. And what I spoke is nothing you would really speak to anyone on the gospel. I mean, I spoke to him, I said, you have a human spirit, that you have three parts, and that God is triune, and he's trying so that he can come inside of you. He wants to come inside of you so he can become one with you. And he wants to be so one with you that he wants to marry you. And he wants to marry you. We see this in Adam and Eve in Genesis. And with the Spirit and Bride in Revelation. And that there's a difference between life and good. We see this with the tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. I mean, I just went and spoke to him for 20 minutes. Not what you want to do on the gospel. But at the end, I asked him, do you want to call on the name of the Lord? And he's like, how do I do this? So we just let him, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And he received the life of God.
Amen.
And then later on, just to confirm, we just prayed, Lord, I receive you as my Savior. Thank you, you died for me.
Amen.
Now I just want to receive your life.
Amen.
So later on, this wasn't one who quickly just jumped into the church life, jumped into the meetings. But Ben and I, we just began to pray 20, 30 minutes a week. And we prayed that he would be one who would be found in the Word. So we got him to order a free Bible from Bibles for America. And whenever he would read, he would just come to us and say, I feel like the Bible is speaking to me. In any situation I am in, the Lord is speaking to me through the Bible.
Amen.
And we would just have spontaneous times with him, whether we would read, whether we would not read. But he would just come to us and say, when I come back from the parties, when I come after with my time with my girlfriend, I just feel so empty. But when I see you guys are seeking something real. You guys have a purpose to your life.
Amen.
And this was just so encouraging. And then he also sent a text message. He said, bro, I just really want to thank you for helping me through these times. I know that what I'm going through might be the most important battle of my life. There has been so much confusion inside of me, but as soon as I open the Bible, everything makes sense, and I feel calm. I know he's working through you, and I'm so grateful for that. Good night, bromigo. So college students on our campuses, they're just seeking something to fill their emptiness, whether it's education, whether it's drinking, whether it's parties. But praise the Lord, we have what they're looking for.
Amen.
All the riches of God's life are mine.
Amen.
And our job is just to flow out to them. And we must also see that in this point, we need to be flexible, right? We may have a concept of who we need to speak to, like that person's not going to accept it. He's got too many problems, or this is not the right time. I'm not prepared. But we need to be open to the Lord's anointing.
Amen.
Because he has his own time. He has his own way.
Amen.
And even he has his own speaking for us to speak.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I know what many of you are thinking, even by your response. Wow! Miraculous! Amazing! Actually, that is normal. That's normal. It's normal to bring someone out of darkness into light. It's normal to have that kind of experience. It's normal for somebody who's been drinking of the worldly vine, when they drink the living water, to have that kind of response. So actually, that is a normal experience. And, you know, it's so precious. You know, all these things that you're hearing in this college training, I hope we would realize that this is not just for inspiration, these testimonies to stir you up. Maybe you'll get something like that, or that was for David, or maybe these other ones. Or, you know, even my walk with the Lord in the morning, it's so awesome because of this environment, but I can't reproduce that back home. Actually, all of this is part of a normal Christian life. We need all these things that we're practicing here. Everything we're sharing with you concerning fruit bearing, actually, this should be our normal experience. We're burdened that everyone would be brought into a normal living that's so attractive, filled with the experience of Christ as the attracting factor. Right? This is crucial for a life that is a normal life bearing fruit. So I just want, again, to highlight the wrong person, right? Wouldn't you agree that was the wrong person? There was the right person in the first class. That was the wrong person. And even he said the wrong thing, right? He just, everything flowed out. That's how it is sometimes. You go speak to somebody, even, you know, and that's sometimes what comes out is the wrong thing. But you just keep exercising your spirit. Actually, maybe all you needed was a little opener for them to stop, right? The wrong place at the dining hall. He was just going to get a cup of coffee. Anyway, you can go on. But, you know, actually, this is the way the Lord was in John chapter 4. He went to the woman at the well just to gain one. And his opening line was maybe something you wouldn't say. Give me a drink. And we might say, come on, you're God. You know, lay it on her. Unveil yourself. But actually, her response was a rebuke. It was like, why are you talking to me? And then the next sentence was the gospel. If you knew who it was who was speaking to you, the gift of God, you would ask him and you would get living water. So actually, his opening line was maybe the wrong thing, but right away, the second line nailed it, right? Of course, he knew what he was doing. My point is, don't be so concerned with what you're going to say. Actually, when the Spirit prompts and you've been enjoying the Lord, you've been enjoying something, you just open your mouth. Right? And you'll get that same response. This is actually very normal. That kind of response is normal. It's not miraculous. It's normal. You know, I appreciate we've been singing that song, Abiding in the Vine, Abiding in the Vine. Because what are we? We're branches. We're branches abiding in the vine. It's normal. It's not miraculous for a grapevine or any kind of vine to bear fruit. It's very normal. It's abnormal for it not to bear fruit. So what are we? Are we branches? Say, amen, I'm a branch.
Amen, I'm a branch.
So it is normal for you to bear fruit. So Roman numeral 3, let's all read this together. Normal. Normal. I hope we would all be impressed. What is normal? You know what normal is? It's normal for a couple to have a child, one child, one a year. You know, I have a brother who's 362 days older than me. So I was born, you know, and anyway, you could do the math. You figure it out. He's less than 1 year, so for 3 days, we're twins. You know, we make a joke about it. He's my twin brother. But, you know, you might say, whoa, that's intense. But actually, it's normal. One a year. One a year is normal. So to bear fruit, one a year, that's very normal. So that should encourage us. And you should say, Lord, make me normal. You can even pray that right now.
Lord, make me normal.
Okay, A, if Christians will have a normal living of the gospel, it will be sufficient for each one to bring only one person to the Lord each year. So, you know, this definition of normal, what is normal? You know, and I'll just go back to the first outline on fruit bearing. It gives a definition of what it is to be normal. The last Roman numeral gives a little prayer, and it says this: I do not pray for a great amount of fruit in a miraculous way. Rather, I simply want to be normal, bearing at least one fruit per year. So what is it to be normal? One fruit per year. And, you know, and there'll be I appreciate there's a lot of different elements to all these testimonies, these commonalities, these characteristics that actually should encourage us. And I'll bring these out at the end. But I just want to make this, it's normal to bear one fruit per year. This is absolutely normal. This should be your experience, and this will be your experience. Okay, B. How about sisters? Read B. Living. Amen. Brother C. Amen. As I read D, could Vicky and Sarah come up? If we have the proper living day by day and one by one, people will be brought to the Lord and into the church life. This is the proper preaching of the gospel. Amen.
Hi, I'm Vicky. I'm going to be a fourth year at Cal State Long Beach.
And I'm Sarah, and I'm going to be a second year at Cal State Long Beach. So my
first semester of college, one of my full-timers introduced me to a girl named Sydney that she met on the gospel. And so right when I met her, we got along really well. And so we exchanged contact numbers, and we ended up meeting weekly just to get to know each other and get to know each other better. And so by getting to know her, I found that she was a Buddhist, and she didn't really believe in anything. But all her life, she went to Christian schools. So for elementary, middle, and high school, she went to a Christian school. And while she was at those schools, people tried to preach the gospel to her because they knew she wasn't a Christian. And they would try to save her, but the way they were doing it, it really turned her off. And she had a lot of hard times growing up, and so because of this, it was hard for her to trust people. And so after getting to know her, I was pretty burdened for her. But being a first year, I didn't really know how to do anything. I don't know how to bear fruit. I don't know how to shepherd people. So I went up to my full-timers. I told them, I don't know what I'm doing. So our fellowship led to that I would just be normal with her, that I would have this proper living expressed through me so she could see the Christ in me.
Amen.
So I just continued to hang out with her, but it's hard bearing fruit on your own. So I introduced her to some of the sisters, and one of them was Vicky. And so the three of us got along really well. You know, we went to go do Pilates, or we went to go in and out, but we really just wanted to spend time with her.
So Sarah and I are in the same home meeting, so we actually spent a lot of time together, and we both got really burdened for Sydney. So we started to pray about once a week, not that she would get saved like the next day, but that she would just be comfortable with us and treat us, you know, as her real friends that she could open to. So Sydney actually, she came to almost all our college meetings on campus, which were once a week, but she would just sit there and kind of listen. And every time we asked her like what she thought, she would say, oh, it was cool, but I'm not Christian, so yeah. So she would always say that. And then we started praying that she would come to the home meeting. And we would pray and pray. And the first couple of times we invited her, something always came up. But eventually she came to one and she loved it. And then she came to almost every other home meeting. To the point where she told me that she felt Friday nights was just part of her weekly schedule. So we began to pray, you know, we prayed that she would like us, and so she did. But then we were worried that, you know, she just wanted to be with us, you know, as people, but we wanted her to see the Christ in us. And then it was nearing the end of the school year, so we got really desperate. We were praying and praying that she would see Christ. And then one home meeting, we got invited to blend with the church in Huntington Beach. They were having their sixth graders get baptized, and we brought her. And yeah, she just sat there like she usually did. But when we asked her what she thought of it, she said, I thought it was really cool when that one brother prayed in Spanish and you all said amen, even though you don't know Spanish. So one of the trainees was like, yeah, you know what that's called? That's called the oneness. And she started explaining to her, you know, we all have Christ's life, and that makes us one. Nowhere else in the world, in any convention with people with the same commonalities, will you find this oneness. And then she said, yeah, I can see that. And then, like, the Lord kind of told me, like, at that moment, I was like, wow, she sees the oneness. Like, she's ready. If she sees something of Christ, like, she needs to be saved. So Sarah and I started praying, and then the semester ended, and she went home. And we're from NorCal, so we were going to go home, too. So we were kind of desperate that the Lord would provide an opportunity for her to get saved. So after school ended, we agreed with Sydney to just call each other to catch up, like not just text, but to actually like call. And so, yeah. And then Sarah and I actually, we went to short term right after finals ended, and it was really enjoyable. So if you haven't gone short terming, I really encourage you to go. So we short termed, and then after that, the Saturday, right before we were going to drive back to Northern California, I decided to call Sydney, and because we agreed to. So I called her, and she was like, oh, hey, what were you up to this past week? And I was like, oh, I went to this Bible school, and I really enjoyed it. And I started explaining to her all my enjoyments, and she just kept asking question after question. It was like a two-hour phone call, and then she was just taking it in. And then I asked her, like, oh, how was your week? And so she had been living in an apartment right next to the sister's house where I live. And she was struggling with her roommates. And then one of them was going to move out, so they had to find someone new. But they weren't, you know, they weren't helping. So she was at the tipping point. She really wanted to move out. And I kind of just, like, low-key joked and said, oh, you should just become Christian and move in with us. And then she was like, you know, I seriously thought of that. And then so after she said that, I was like, oh, Lord, like, she needs to be saved right now. But then she said that phrase again, oh, but I'm not a real Christian, so it wouldn't work. And then I was like, what does that even mean? Do you want to know how to become a real Christian? This is how you do it. And then I didn't have my Bible, so I just Googled the mystery of human life. And and I, like, said, repeat this prayer after me. So I read the prayer, and she repeated it, and she got saved. And amen. And I was, like, still in shock that that happened. So we both just started laughing. And then she talked some more. And then at the end of the phone call, I had ordered her a free Bible, and she agreed to read it with Sarah and I over the summer. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Thank you. Amen.
Very normal. You know, one thing that's precious about that is it was 1 year. They met her in the fall, and she got saved just about a year in May, right? And even she said on the phone, Vicky asked her, said, how do you feel? She says, I don't know, just laughing, like out of joy, not like, you know, chuckling, but really laughing and saying, I can't believe this just happened. You know, she was really happy, but it took a year, right? And so a couple things I just want to bring out about these experiences. You know, it was mentioned, if you bring them to a home meeting, 80% of the work is done. But that's not merely saying, let's go. You know, there's a home over there, I know. Brian has a home. And that's what I just got to, that's the key to the equation. If I just take him to Brian's home, all the work is done. But actually, a primary element of this gospel is it's our living. It comes out of the end. It's a living. What was the Lord doing? Was he preaching the gospel? Yes. But his gospel was his living. His living was the gospel. So if we're not in a home, if we're not built with the saints, if we don't have companions, if we're not practicing a daily life, then it is in the realm of activity. It won't be so normal. You'll have to exert effort and energy, right? And that means difficult. Not many can do that. And that's not the kind of gospel that we're talking about here. So what was precious about Jackie's experience, about every experience that you heard, was every single one of those ones, they had a companion to pray with, right? Prayed with Ben. They prayed with each other. They prayed with the saints in the home meeting. We prayed for her, right? There's a matter of it's your person. Right. If you're built in with saints, it's normal for you to bear fruit. Right. If you're in that kind of relationship where you're just abiding in the vine, you're enjoying the Lord in the morning, you're reading the Word, you're practicing to confess, you have a companion, and you're reading. You know, what if Jackie was to go? What if Amy, the sister that really shepherded her, didn't have a habit of reading the Bible? How mechanical would it be to say, okay, you and I, Jackie, we have to start reading the Bible. But if Amy is just reading the Bible, that's just what she does. It's so normal for her to say, hey, why don't you come do what I do? I'm really happy and I do this. You should come do this. And they say yes. And you just fill in the blank, whatever this is. Right? We're going to go get ramen. Right, sisters? Go get some ramen. Let's go. We're going to go play basketball. We're going to go to this home meeting. We're going to go have dinner. We're going to read the Bible. It's so normal. Right. And they can see it in you. It's not religious. It's not something of Christianity. I read the Bible. If you're genuinely enjoying the church life, and that's your living, to say, I enjoy this, or you just say, come do this. You know, it's like that attracting, the experience of Christ is the attracting fragrance. Amen. It's like the Lord, he just said, follow me. And they just came. You just say, come, let's have ice cream. And they just say, yes, I'm coming, right? You open up the Bible and they just, let's read the Bible. I mean, if you're genuine, if you're enjoying, if you're happy, they want that. They want the genuine social life. That's the church life, right? Where everything we do is in the church life. Why do we have events? Well, actually, we like to have fun, brothers. We like to do things. We like to exercise. We like to hike. Sisters, you like to be together. But in the context of the church life, that's where you bear fruit. Isn't it enjoyable to be in the homes? Isn't it enjoyable? I love the homes. You know, I got recovered in the homes. I got saved in the homes. It became normal. I had a living that was outside. You know, I had friends of mine that I didn't want to preach the gospel to because I enjoyed maybe being able to go out and do things with them. And I felt like, well, if they got saved, then I would be restricted from those things. But inwardly, I had no peace. It wasn't normal. I was not happy. Always conflict, but when I entered into the church life, I just stepped into the church life. It became the realm in which I lived. I'm still practicing. Oh, I was happy, joyful. And then fruit came, right? It's just so normal. E. How about brothers read E? Constantly enjoy the Lord's presence. Amen. Amen. And sisters F. Right. Amen. Amen. Right. Living and joyful. You know, one of these key things, you know, like related to singing, right? Making our joy full. Singing, it makes us happy. All these things that we should practice. Actually, we have not touched the true joy in life unless you bear fruit. You might look at it outwardly and say, oh, a woman to bring forth a child, there's travail. Oh, and you talk to some of the parents and you would ask them, how is it? Oh, I don't get a lot of sleep. And, you know, and they're just kind of in the spur of the moment. I mean, it's just, oh, I'm tired all the time. And, you know, and actually, but there is joy. You ask any parent with children, right? There's joy. That just makes my life joyful. It gives my life meaning. One of the reasons why we're not so happy, we haven't touched that joy, is because we're not living a normal, fruit-bearing life, right? Bearing fruit through a normal living. When you touch this, saints, John 15:11 will be rhema to you, that my joy maybe in you. This is God's delight, that my joy would be in you and that your joy would be made full. Don't you want that to be your reality? That my joy, God's joy, you think God is joyful? Joy. And then that my joy would be in you and your joy would be made full. This is something, we pray this for you, but actually it should be so normal that you would touch this joy. This would be something that would animate you. This would be in your desire. I want to bear fruit. And actually these testimonies, there should be something in us that we want that desire. We want that experience, right? We should pray for that. But I want to leave us with a few things just to make it practical, as practical as bearing fruit can be. Anyway, this is just some fellowship. It's very normal. It's not miraculous activity. It does involve the things Oscar brought out. Make a list. Invite. You know, what is one of the keys to bearing fruit? Like the brother shared, and it will be shared again. What's really needed is for us just to be interested in people. Interested. And maybe you're not interested in imparting life. But you all have friends. You have a lot of ones you're contacting with. You're in contact with. You should make a list. At the least, you should make a list. And you should begin to pray over that list. You should begin to consider, Lord, give me an interest. Give me an interest in people. I'm interested in imparting life. Right? This is so normal. We have a list and we're praying, and then we just invite. Isn't it normal just to invite friends, people you contact, just to do the things that you do? Right? You just invite. You know, the brother shared about Germany, right? There's lampstands in Germany. The Lord is moving in Germany, right? And what is needed? They have the homes. They have saints, right? What do they need? They need students. And what is the burden on the students? Students, go to Germany, and there's a lot of work for you to do. We want you to, you know, I don't know if you can bear it. No, you know what they said? Make friends. Actually, that's what you need to do at UCLA. That's what you need to do at UCR. You're just in the church life. You're living a normal daily life. You're enjoying the Lord with your companions, and you're making friends. And as you're making friends, the Lord stirs in you. And there should be a proper desire. Lord, Jackie needs to get saved. Sydney needs to get saved. So the second thing is, what did the sisters do? They brought it to their companions. Bring it to your home meeting. There's none of these examples that we heard, that we saw, this living fruit speaking. None of these were individual, born by one person. They did everything, right? They went out and preached the gospel. They brought this one. They bought the home. They filled the fridge with food. They created an environment that was just so pleasant. And then they took classes. And then they came back and they brought the new one. That's what is that? But they just were normal, and they just brought it up to their roommate, brought it up to the companions. And then they had a home meeting, and they brought them into the home meeting. I mean, Sarah's a freshman. And in 1 year, she's got fruit, right? But whose fruit is it? Is it Vicky's fruit? Is it Sarah's fruit? I don't know. I think partly it's my fruit. It was my home. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what? Actually, it's corporate. It's corporate fruit bearing. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory, right? But it's corporate, saints. Don't look at it as this burden, like, oh, I have to do so much. Actually, you just need to make a friend and be in the church life. If you're in the practical church life, actually, everyone's looking for this. Doesn't matter what their background is. If you're in it and you're enjoying little by little, all you need to do is make a friend and invite. You just bring them. Actually, this animates the saints. This animates you. This brings you into a joyful living. And that last thing, the gospel, this gospel word could be maybe gospel. But actually, what is the gospel? I mean, in this, the gospel actually is just the living. If you look at Roman numeral 2a, the Lord Jesus simply lived the life of the gospel. Wherever he went, the gospel was his living. You know, I'm aspiring, saints, I'm desiring for this, that I would just be normal. Normal fruit bearing. Bearing one fruit a year. I'm still endeavoring. I don't think I have this in my practice, but I'm endeavoring. I want to be normal. I want my joy, his joy, to be made full in me. Don't you want that? That's why we're here, saints. That's why we're sharing this. That's why Brian is sharing his experience. Because we want your joy to be made full. We want our joy to be made full. Nobody wants to be a morose Christian. How attractive is that? Right? But if you're really happy, People don't know what to do with somebody who's genuinely happy. They're looking for that. And that should be our living, saints. That's the gospel. So don't look at it in the realm of activities, normal, bear fruit, and just live and enjoy the church life and invite your friends. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for corporate fruit bearing.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we can stop here. I think we need to save time for announcements.